First of all, I want to start by saying I love you guys. You are the best group of Christians I've ever seen in my life. You may not think so, but I think you are. And I see my grandsons, Joseph and Caleb. I love you guys. And I want to get that on the recording. It's a blessing because I'm hanging out today. And this is a blessing with my grandkids, Markel's kids, Talima's kids. All of them are getting together with me and we're going out. And, look at Jesus, right? And so I'm excited about that. And Talima is going to hang out with her Nami, and I'm going to hang out with my grandkids. And I love the God of restoration, and I love the God of reconciliation, and I love the God who protects and cares for. And I have been doing a lot of messages about that, if you think about it, for a little while now, because God has been saying to me, go to my people and tell them that they are loved. Tell them that I care for them. Don't try to wow them with how deep you know the Bible and who they are versus who you are, but just tell my people I love them. And if you look back to all the messages I've been teaching you since the beginning of the year, it's really been God loves you, God's provision, God's protection, God loves you. Come on, somebody say, God loves me. God loves you. And so when I was getting ready for the messages, for this message, I said, well, God, what do you want me to talk about? And he gave me a scripture, and I want you to turn to it. It's in Isaiah chapter 43. And the title of this message, I don't know which one I want to go with. I'll finish preaching it, and then you'll decide. First one I got was, who are we, Lord? And then it was, who are you, Lord? And the we kind of speaks to me. I'm not saying who are we, meaning us, but when you're in a relationship with somebody and you say to them, so who are we? Like, what do we have here? Like, what is this? Like, what is going on? Females, you'll know that question. You round a guy for me, like, okay, tell us where this is going. Like, who are we? Like, what is this all about? So if you can find a way to put that in a sentence and make that point clear, feel free with whatever conversation. But that's the who are we or the who are you. It's like, so what's going on between us here? Like, we've been in a relationship for a while. I want to know who we are. Like, what's going on between us here? Where's this going? Right? And so, based on that, I got the word that I'm going to share today. Because I said, God, the people need to know who we are. Who thinks, like, already from the title or from this explanation, that this is going to be a good word? Okay, so I want to start at verse 14, and then I'm going to go back. So let's go back down to verse 14. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sakes, I will send Babylon, I mean, I will send to Babylon and bring down the fugitives, all of Babylon, in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. And I said, okay, that's a weird place to start. Help me understand, he said. Read it again. So, okay, this is the Lord, what your Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sakes, I will send to Babylon and bring down its fugitives, all the Babylonians, in the ships in which they took pride. Okay, so what are you saying? And then he told me, okay, go to verse 1 and start from the beginning, which I was going to do anyway, because I don't like cherry picking a verse. At verse 1, it says, but now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel. Now, let's stop right there and let's go with this. This is what who says. Who's talking right now? Who's talking, right? All right. Now, people will argue, no, is Isaiah talking, But no, he's just repeating what he's hearing. And he's saying, this is what the Lord says. And he's prophesied. And he says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel. Now watch this. Ready? I'm going straight in. So get ready. He who formed you, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel. How many people is he talking to right now? How many? Let me see with your fingers, whatever. How many people? One, two, three. Okay. See, and this is where it gets deep. No, he's talking to hundreds of thousands of people because Jacob is Israel. Let's make sure we get that right. You know, the wrestler, see, I know that's why I make the big bucks. Okay. So, so Jacob, who wrestled with him at night, and his name was turned to Israel. So then why did he separate and just say, he who formed you, Israel? Why did he just say, why did he say Jacob, then Israel? Because he's saying Jacob, who was the swindler, who was turned to Israel, who the people is named after, who his people are, Israel. So he's saying, I took Jacob and made him to Israel. So you, Jacob, and what you've become as a result of what I've done is Israel. So the message is to you first, the swindler, to Israel, who I turned you to, who my people are to this day. Got it? It's a powerful thing he's saying here. I'm speaking to the old you, and I'm speaking to you as my people. I'm speaking to before, and I'm speaking to after. Please don't sleep on what I'm saying to you right now. This is powerful. God has said, I'm talking to the you before you got saved, and I'm talking to the you after you got grafted in. Huh. Before you were in your mother's womb, you were called. Come on now, somebody get a hold of what's happening right now. I'm about to do something to you. I just want you to get up on in here. Okay. Okay. God opened my eyes to something. I was like, whoa, this is some powerful stuff. So I'm speaking to the you that you were when you were messed up. But, you know, I've done some things last week. I'm still speaking to the Jacob in you. Whew, who caught that? I'm still speaking to the you that was, and I'm speaking to the you that is. Loving you both from one side to another. I'm yours then and now. Come on, somebody. So I'm speaking to you. I created you, Jacob, and I formed you to Israel. Jacob, he who formed you, Israel. Oh, my God. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. Come on, before and after. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Now, this is where the well, who are we thing starts to get answered. I saw you when you were Jacob. I formed you through acceptance of Christ into my Israel. I went through this procedure and transformed you into something that I now call my own. You're mine. I did this work. I'm proud of what I've done. I'm happy with what I have. Come on, let me say that one more time. I'm happy with what I have. You are mine. But I got so many shortcomings, some this and some that. Okay, yeah, I know you, Jacob. But I formed you, Israel. You are mine. Somebody say, I am his. And he is mine. And this, see, that. It, wait, before I go any further, isn't that the answer a sister want when she asks a brother that question? Where are we? That's what you want to hear. You are mine. Anyway, let me go on. Do not fear, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. We all saved in Christ. No, no, no. By name. Yuanya, Kwame, Sophie, Joseph. By name. Get rid of this universal God image that you've heard and that people preach and that you hear over pulpits and all over the place. He said, I called you by your name. I didn't call you Christians. I called you Lindsay. I called you Esther. I called you Nelly. You understand what I'm saying? He called me by my name. He stuck his finger at him. Right there. That one. That's one. I'm forming that one. That's mine. That's mine right there. That's mine. Look at him with his gorgeous self. That's mine. Pause. But you'll get my point, right? He said, I picked you individually. I called you by name. So if he had just said Israel, that would have been a congregation. So he started by naming the Jacob first to identify the you and then the you that he formed you into, but still making note that I've identified you by name. You are mine. My God, I could stop preaching right here. I just say amen, may the word that you heard, and just get off of here, right? Because that's the word. Now, I won't do that because there's more. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Now, without identifying Jesus, help me keep this together so I can do this message. Without him identifying you individually, saying when you pass through the waters, our mind goes to him taking Israel, the whole troop through the waters. But he's saying, no. You by name, your waters alone. Yeah, you can go through with Israel, but I'm bringing you through. So as I read these, keep inserting your name and yourself into these verses. Amen. And that's why I believe Jacob was named, so that you can identify you as the Israel, the children, the family, the tribe of God, and you, the individual who was formed into that family. My God. Okay. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you over. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Let's just take this apart just a minute. So Israel went through the water. So you can try to turn that into a general statement. But the fire was an individual thing, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So now he's letting you know. I'm not just talking the corporate. I'm talking the individual. Through whatever fires you go through and whatever waters come through, you will not get burned. And you will not be swept away. Why is this important? Because we've been taught over and over again that God puts you through the fires and through the waters. And if you look at all these cases, it was not God who did it. It was people that didn't follow God who did it. But God said in it, not only will you not be swept away, not only will you not be burned, but you won't even be singed and the smell of smoke won't even be in your clothes. Isn't that what happened? I'm showing you the places where God's saying, if you want to know what's up with us, let me explain this to you. There's a lot of stuff that you accept that you don't have to, because they're not my place for you. They're the places that have been thrust upon you and you've accepted them as your destiny, but they're not my calling for you. And this is big. And church people get so mad, you know, religious people and church people. No, because you got to go through. And I always say to them, oh, amen. I stand in agreement with you. Go on through. Go on through for me too while you're at it. But if I go through with you, I'm not going to burn. You will. Because I don't believe that that's God's decree for me. And according to your faith be it unto you, go through what you need to go through. I'll throw this in as a side journey. Once again, had another meeting with the doctor, doing my little checkup thing, which, by the way, I really don't like it. Nellie really wants me to make sure I keep myself whatever. But let me tell you something. I lived all these years with no doctor, no medical plan. Now that I got the old people plan where you can go whenever you want, right? She want to make sure I'm safe, and I'm trying to be the good husband and prepare myself and make sure I go get checked up. But then they start walking through all these scenarios and blah 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 in all their opinions. They told me from the beginning, no, high blood pressure was something when you got it. It's hereditary and blah blah, and you have to have it for the rest of your life. So about 2 3 months ago, I think it was, when I went to the doctor, he said, took the he said walked in the room, and the first thing he asked me was, "Are you taking your pills?" No. He got at, "Why not?" I said, "Because I don't need to. The lady just checked me. I'm okay." And he checked me and he did the blood pressure and he looked. Then he did it one more time and then he said, "All right, I'm taking you off the pills." I'm like, "And what, you ain't taking me off of nothing. What are you talking about? You ain't taking me off. How you taking me?" I didn't say all this to him, but inside myself, that internal conversation, I was like, "You taking me off? Really? No, you did not." Because I had to come to the realization that they can only prescribe and go through the stuff they go through, but the one who walks through the fire and the water with me is God. And he's the only one who can bring me out the other side. So yes, I walked through high blood pressure. Yes, I walked through inflamed prostate. Yes, I walked through all this stuff that they say people my age supposed to have. But I also knew that I'm supposed to come out the other side and not be swept away or burned. This is my position. That's why I don't want them feeding too much information to. I said, "I'm not going anymore to these things. They are supposed to go to the urologist, and I missed the appointment." They said, "We'll set up another day." And I was like, "I'm not coming back here. Like, what do I need to keep coming here for? For you keep looking at me and tell me I'm all right and charging Medicare and then sending me home with nothing. Like, please just give me a break with this crap. I want you to listen to me. This comes from the acceptance that God's relationship with you is individual, personal, and yours. And that's not something you do just by confessing it. That's something you do by sitting with God and saying, 'God, who are we? What's really going on between me and you? What is our relationship?' And he will say to you, 'Well, baby, I don't like the way you leave your socks laying around, and I don't like the way you don't put this up. And I really would appreciate it, and it would make me feel much better if you spend a little more time with me, letting me talk to you instead of praying loud and not listening to what I gotta say." That's what a relationship is based on. Somebody could give me an amen if you want to agree. I need you to be as caring with me and about me as you are about your earthly things. I need, at least give me a little more attention. You spend more time working on your business than you do loving on me. And I know you got kids and all that stuff now, but I'm feeling a little neglected. And I would like you to spend some, come on now. I mean, don't stop logging off. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. You understand what I'm saying? I just need some quality time. I would love that. I feel a little neglected right here. And that's what a relationship is. And it gets to the place that when you spend that kind of time, you start to get a sense of, this is how you care for me when I let you. This is how you protect me if I let you. This is how you provide for me if I stop trying to do everything myself for a moment and let you provide. Okay, then I'm gonna be still. And I'm gonna let you bring me through the water if I gotta go through some. I'm gonna let you bring me through the fire if I have to go through some, knowing that I'm gonna come out okay. That's not that hard of a challenge, but you got to be willing to do it. And a lot of us, soon as something happens to our flesh, we say, "God, I'll be right back." And then we go and start trying to handle it in our own strength. And God, bless what I'm going to do in my panic and my frustration right now. Bless what I'm going to do in my anguish and my anger right now. Bless, Lord, just bless it and make it work out right. And God said, "I can't make that work out right, because I don't have anything to do with that. That's you. Don't ask me to co-sign on your decisions." The ones I've made for you are already signed and paid at the door. My God, are you listening to me today? You're looking at me all stone faced. Like, are you feeling what I'm saying up in here? Do you want me to change the message to something else? Like, this is not happy enough? I'm telling you the truth. God is not going to move because you made a decision that this is something he should move in. He's already moved. And when you show up to where he's called you, the provision is already in place. That's how it works. That's how it works. Well, I don't want to go to the Red Sea. I want to go to the Blue Sea. Well, go to the Blue Sea, but I've decreed to meet you at the Red Sea. Can I get an amen from anybody? A thumbs up or something? Give me something. You're just looking at me so, like so hard, like, okay, I don't know if I'm liking all of this, but I'm trying to help you. Wow. He said, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. My God. Why? Why? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Sheba in your stead. Now, I want to stop right here and say this. He's saying to them, I'm going to give you Israel, Egypt for a ransom. Egypt had them under its control. And he's saying, no, I'm giving them to you for a ransom. And this hit me today because I really understood after getting on this call that I talked about what made a little bit more sense to me. I give you the heathen for your inheritance. I make the enemy your footstool. And all of these things begin to reveal something to me that I didn't understand. How are you going to give them to me as a ransom when they're holding me hostage? Well, there's a couple of things I want to clear up here that I got in my heart, and you can choose to agree or disagree. The whole time when I would hear the enemy, your footstool, I always looked at them as something I propped my feet up on. Am I the only one? When you heard that, they're your hasset. They're your footrest. You step on them. That's the purpose of it, right? That you walk on them, right? That's what the enemy is, your footstool. If anybody has something different, I'm open to hear it. Because that's the way I always saw it. The enemy is under me. And God had me look up the word for footstool. And it's a step stool. And a step stool is not something you sit on. It's not something you walk on. It's not something you abuse. It's something you use to reach something that you normally couldn't reach. Basically saying, I'm going to make your enemy help you. I'm going to use your enemy to lift you up. If you walk with me and follow me, the people that were against you, I would turn them to the place that they will help you achieve things that I called you to. Because watch this. If I receive the heathen for my inheritance, that means I lead them to Christ and they become part of my lineage. See, this is where church people mess this up now. So if they become my inheritance, that means they become my family. Your heathen for your inheritance is that they become, your inheritance is your kids, your grandkids, your lineage. Isn't that your inheritance? These are the people that bring to you and you inherit from or you pass down lineage to. So God said a lot of times these people that we're looking at as enemies are people that I put in your life to help you get to the next place. If you would just stay with me and stop going off on your own emotional tantrums and rages and your own journeys. Well, God, there's people I need to move out in my life, but there's people I need to let you leave in there because you got a purpose for them. Why do you think he kept Judas around? Judas had a job to do. The other disciples weren't going to betray him. Judas would. Well, he had a job to do. So he kept him there. Oh, boy, I know this is getting a little thick. But this is the word. I'm just trying to help. So now, instead of praying against this job and this person and this position and this place you live, sometimes you need to stop and pray and say, God, are you doing something here? And am I messing up what you're doing? And am I in the way? Do you have a plan here that if I would just get in my place that you could fix? Let me be quiet. Let me stop coming to you telling you what you need to do and how you need to deliver me. And let me just get still and say, what's happening here? Now, it's somebody else's story to tell, and I'll let them tell it when he's ready. I'm going to ask him to come on. But somebody just went through a whole situation where they wound up getting arrested for something they didn't do and thrown into, prison, was sitting there and called me for prayer. And I said, what I'm asking you to pray is this. I'm asking you to say, God, I'm willing to stay here as long as you want me here. I don't care if it's a whole year. What am I here for? I said, I know your heart don't want to hear that, but you're not coming out until you do that. And when he called me back, he said, I said it, but my heart wasn't there. And he said, it was a day or two later. He wound up saying in 10 days, he spoke to him after a couple of days and said, it's lip service. And he said, change my heart. And God did. He wound up ministering to so many people and praying for people, and they were getting released the next day. And he going like, wait, why am I still here? And they're getting released. And God was like, I thought you said you were with me. I'm with you. And a couple more days, God brought him out. And I'm telling you, it was a hard thing to say to him. You got to pray to God. God, I'll do whatever you say. I'll do whatever you say. I'll deal with it however long you want me to deal with it, whatever you need me to do. What is your plan? Let me be a part of what you're doing. Let me be still and know that you are God. I've been saying this for the past couple of weeks. You have heard me. I want to be still. I want to be quiet until all the noise in my mind is quiet. Until my emotions are out of it, and my feelings are out of it, and my opinions are out of it. I could say this, I could do this, I could say this, but I want to be still until all of me is quiet. Then, God, I can hear you and what you're saying. So let's wrap this up right back where we started. And this is where I want to bring it home. Back to verse 1. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, you can put your name there, who formed you into his Israel, come on, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. That's emotionally, mentally, socially, spiritually, financially. I have redeemed you. But here's the key phrase. I have summoned you by name. Now, it's not I have called you, I summoned you. I sent you a legal decree in order that you must respond to. I have summoned you. You don't summons God when you got something to deal with. You don't summons him to come and make your world right. He summons you. He doesn't work for you. He's not your legal aid. He's not your social worker. He is God. He summons you like jury duty. You've been summoned. I called you. Watch this. By your name, you are mine. And this is where I want to land. Can you look back at him and say, yes, I am yours. I am. And because I am yours, you are mine. And because we belong to each other, whatever you say, I'm good with. Wherever you tell me to go, I'm going. Now, on this journey, you may mess it up. You may Jacob it a little bit, But that's why he called you by your name, because he knows that you're going to screw up some of it. He knows that you're going to get back in your flesh and try to control it in your own hand a little bit. But when he pokes you, can you open your eyes and say, yeah, I took control again. My bad. I am yours. You summoned me. I bow to you. I will leave you with this thought. Prayers going up is fine, but the word coming down to you is what you're looking for. All this prayer time when you're doing all the talking and all of the exciting and all of the telling God, okay, fix this, look like he's your handyman. When do you figure out that that don't work? When do you figure out that he don't respond well to that? Remember when I said to you a while ago, I stopped praying, I take authority and I bind it. I start saying, God, if you would be so kind, I would appreciate this. And if you don't mind, if it's all good with you, I would like to have this. I'm trying to get us to this place of real humility as Christians. We've become an entitled group of people that could be pains in the keisters, but that's okay. He made room for Jacob too. But at some point, we let him finish forming us into his Israel that he can guide. May the word that you heard bring God's blessing to you. And amen.